Love Talk Radio.
This thing right here, is for my peoples in the streets.
Yes, today.
All right, welcome to RSG One Mike. We got another hot one here in the business, and we're gonna find out today, has the bubble burst? We're gonna be asking. We're gonna find out. So much happening with everybody talking about a bubble and everything, and some people aren't talking about a bubble. But we're gonna get to that in the cipher in about 15 minutes. But you know, we're gonna kick it off with open mic. But we're gonna start out with introductions of my co-host here tonight. Let me start with my man Carl Hampton. How you doing?
I'm blessed and well, brother. How you doing?
Oh, doing well, man. Glad to have you here. I know you hustling, so it's good to have you here tonight with us. Then we got the youngin who'll be helping us out in this first segment. His name is Darnell Kirkland Jr. For you folks who don't know, how you doing, Darnell?
I'm doing great. Like I told the kids today, when we was at the summer workouts, it's 88 and I'm feeling great. And weather is nice outside. Nobody needs to be going to Miami with the way Ipsy's looking right now.
That's right. And my name is Devon Wolfson, and I'm the other third of this least three-man booth. And we usually have our friend, our other brother, Hank Davis, but he's not here with us tonight. But we got a full show to hit you. And so in the open mic, the youngin, the Gatorade Player of the Year, Imani Bates, made his decision. Got on there, was on Zoom, whatever, and announced that he's going to go to Michigan State, be a Sparty. And I know the Spartan Nation is excited to hear that kind of stuff. But there's still a lot to talk to you about this story because, there's still questions about whether or not he will go to the league. And so we don't want to look at that. But one of the interesting things in the conversation was, Imani's dad was asked about, was he mad that more people didn't recruit him? And I didn't realize he wasn't getting pushed at, he wasn't getting recruited at the level that a player like his caliber should have been recruited. I'm thinking some of that might have been because of Sparty, but I know, Darnell, I know you're close to the situation. Where did that statement come from?
Well, I can see both sides because from where EJ is coming, what this is, he's talking about most of the schools, because a lot of these guys, like these players, they want to the experience, the experience of being recruited and that kind of thing. You see with a lot of players that came into the NBA straight out of high school, when they first hit free agency, they always talk about they want the experience. Even if they're only considering to play for one or two teams, they still want to hear the pitch. But the thing with the other colleges, they don't really – the main point with them is they don't want to waste their time. Like, at the end of the day, everybody knows Imani, he grew up a State fan. He's a Sparty. So if he there's really two choices for him. He was either going to State or he's going to the NBA. But so knowing that, most schools are not going to waste their resources to come out and really push for it because they know – they don't have a chance. But at the same time, I can see from the other side, the athlete's point of view, they want the experience to be courted, to have the experience to see Coach K, to see Roy Williams, to see Bill Self, to see all the big guys coming to campus, But it's just the way things fall down sometimes.
And I mean, we might ask you a few questions. I know I'm about to bring Hammer in here in a minute, but one of the things he talked about with Michigan State was loyalty. He wanted to be loyal. They were connected with him from early on. But then I saw him with the Ipswich Prep, and I'm from Michigan, and I know so many of that area has changed so much since I played my high school sports in that area. You have a lot more stuff happening in Ann Arbor. You have other institutions coming online. Other kinds of things happening. You have new institutions. Hank talked about what's happening in Ypsilanti with Willow Run and some of the former schools. But now you see Ypsilanti, and he's not going to be with Lincoln. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Well, you got to look at it from this point of view. Imani, he's a great prospect, right? He's a great player. And at this point of his development, he needs to be playing against players that are closer to his level of talent, so he can be challenged more, and for him to grow at a more accelerated rate, pretty much. And what his dad really wants him to play against the bigger schools, but with the MSHA rules, him being at Lincoln, he can't necessarily play all the big schools. He can only play the schools that, you know, are in Michigan. But at Lincoln, they've been doing a good job of heightening the level of competition, because, you know, in years past when I was going to Lincoln, Lincoln didn't play River Rouge. Lincoln didn't play Benton Harbor. You know what I'm saying? But they did put those tougher, harder teams on the schedule. But with this new wrinkle, with him going creating his own prep school, which is a groundbreaking move in and of itself, he gets the best of both worlds. Like you mentioned loyalty, right?
Yeah.
You're saying like if he's big on loyalty, why would he leave Lincoln? But the thing is, the loyalty isn't just to Lincoln, man. The loyalty of the IFC. That's the soil. So in his mind, what he needs to do for himself and for his best interest is to go to a prep school to better his talent. And if he didn't create this prep school, he would be going to an IMG in Florida, Montverde in Florida. He'll be going to schools in LA and stuff like that. He's bringing the prep kind of stuff to Michigan. So sometimes you might get a Montverde pulling up to Ipsy. You might get an IMG pulling up to Ipsy. You might get ESPN rolling up to Ipsy prep. It's going to be that's going to be a challenge for me to get that in my head. But yeah, Ipsy prep, they might be on ESPN, you know, and that's a big thing for the city. And that's what he was talking about when he says loyalty, right? He's loyal to the city, and he's going to be bringing these things to the city, because like other big superstars, like your LeBron James, not necessarily on the same level, but, you know, stars like that, they draw big crowds, big excitement, big revenue to the city. And if he can bring obviously not on the same scale, but, you know, it's a big thing for the city of Philadelphia to have Imani Bates here.
Yeah, and I think I love the point that you're making about, in some ways, this young cat is learning from, you know, what he's seeing from folks like before him, like LeBron and others building that next generation, you know, in terms of the entrepreneurial aspect of it. As you're saying, giving back to a city, creating opportunities and using his platform to elevate the opportunities for folks in the area. But it was just when I saw that, I was like, Ipsy prep, you know, and I haven't been in the area for a while.
Because it doesn't exist. Everybody said
it doesn't exist.
Oh, Ipsy prep does not exist right now.
It doesn't exist, but he's trying to get it to exist.
Right. It is in the process of being constructed.
Wow.
In the process of being, you know, they, sources say that they have, a venue to be played at or a school to be played at. They already have players committed to coming to Ipsy Prep. You have players from his AAU team already committed. You have John McCreer from Lincoln. He's making the move over to Ipsy Prep. And you're going to see even more. Like, I know we're talking about the commitment to Michigan State, but if I'm being completely honest with you, I'm not – you gotta really look at the words that he's saying, not necessarily about being committed. He's saying, they asked him, where would you be playing your college ball? He said, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm saying I will be committed to Michigan State. And yep. He said, and when they asked him why, he said, Michigan State's been showing him love. They've been loyal to him since he was in seventh grade. So he said he has to show them love. When he said he's showing them love, does that mean he's actually going to play? Or is he showing them love by, you know, giving them the hype of saying, okay, we got the number one recruit? Because we don't necessarily know if he's necessarily going to play for the green and white or if he's going to go to the NBA. But that's a ways down the road. and we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen.
We got Hammer back with us. Y'all know if you want to weigh in on this. It's an incredible story for a lot of us from Michigan, having a young man got really bringing Michigan basketball back on the map, homegrown in that way. It's good to see. But I know you've been watching a little bit of this. What's been your thoughts on what you're hearing with Amani Bates?
Man, I mean, it hit the wire as far as CBS Sportsline breaking news. So, you know, and then y'all started doing the group chat. And so I'll be blunt with you. I've been following these young cats until, you know, I know Jalen Johnson's, you know, Patrick Baldwin, the ones in Wisconsin. But, yeah, as far as it's great to see somebody with Ypsilanti, but I just don't see – I mean, schools know what's up. If he wasn't being recruited that well, there's other things in store. I think he's going to go to the G League, or if they change the rules in the CBA, possibly go straight to school, because everything I read about this kid, he's just the truth. So, and then hearing about the prep school, yeah, Darnell broke it down. I think, sadly, our values are messed up. We're doing prep schools to play basketball instead of prep schools to prepare us for, you know, college. But, you know, I'm not naive. I mean, the young man wants better competition. He wants to do like these kids did, Trace McGrady back in the day, IMG, and get that opportunity that you wouldn't get if you stay at the crib and stay locally. And so, you know, this is especially in the times of COVID, you know, you got to bring it. You got to get that money. So, I mean, people are suffering out here. So the main thing is that I respect the young man. If he's one and done, that's cool. He's Izzo. He had Jalen Johnson's. He had a lot of one and done there. So Zach Randolph before was one and done was cool. He was one and done. So, yeah, but the schools are going to waste their time. I mean, I read some things about Patrick Baldwin Jr., like Duke's all in. You know, they're trying to get him hard. So, and he'll consider a failure if they don't get Patrick Baldwin Jr. So, I was reading some of this other recruiting after seeing this brother. And yeah, it's just great to hear this local perspective from brother Darnell Jr., as well as you knowing the Michigan game, because I really, I mean, I ain't going to lie, I'm showing my age, but the last time I knew about the Michigan game was – you know, with Weber and the Fab Five, because, you know, I was just stunned that Juwan didn't go to everyone in the hood said Juwan was going to Arizona. And all of a sudden, Juwan went to the Fab Five and, like, he shocked us. So, but then he kept it under wraps. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People who really knew him knew he was going to Michigan. So, yeah, I wish the young man well. But, like I said again, it's just weird what he's one and done. So let's be real about it. These kids get on campus. They gone by spring semester, you know what I'm saying? Training. So, because they had this one brother, who's the brother that the one talking about going to HBCU? Mikey. Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be great if he went to HBCU if he stayed there 4 years. I mean, I know people, my parents are graduates of HBCUs, Tennessee State, John C. Smith. You know, again, I got friends, FAMU, Tuskegee, Alcorn. Great experience. I mean, I went to PWI myself, one of the best in the world, obviously, but you don't get the HBCU experience from being a one and done. You're going to be out and you're going to be training by spring, so it's great for the one and done, but, you know, again, I just don't see how it's going to help the school long term unless they get a whole bunch of one and dones, you know, back in a row, you know, in unison role, you know, going back and, you know, consecutively, but I just don't see it. So,
and and what I would see with something like that, and this is why I'm probably getting, I hadn't thought about this until Darnell brought it up, is the long-term financial commitment they make, these young cats are making. So what I'm imagining is he's going to get this prep going, but he's not done. He's watched what LeBron has done in you know, in Akron. And he's like, okay, I'll have the resources to really, this will be my legacy. Like, these young cats are seeing that, because it's being role modeled by Jalen Rose with the Jalen Rose Academy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're aware of that. They see what Jalen's doing, which is it. And I think with the HBCU, if what really could count is first of all, even though you go one and done, do you graduate? That's one. The other thing is you can be a benefactor. You can be giving money. And so if you get, and you know, as I know, HBCUs could use that kind of person.
Oh, big time, yeah. I mean, a lot. But
put the money but, there.
Devon, let's be real, though. You're not going to gain affinity for a campus in the one-and-done experience. I just don't see it, man. I mean.
Cal all the time. I watched the kids from Duke. They love Duke.
I'm about to say, have you seen Kyrie Irving talked about Duke? He played 11
games. That's deception.
Yeah, they talk about Duke like they've been there for 4 years. That's how these kids.
Yeah, well, Zion's talking about that. Yeah, but I think
that's how they operate. The rule, they are microwave.
That's the rule, bro. That's
them 1 year is like 4 years.
Yeah, and I would love to see Mikey. I would love to see Mikey Williams play. At Alabama State for Mo Williams. Oh, I'd love to see that happen if Mo Williams is still there in 4 years.
Yeah,
I saw he's at Alabama State. But, yeah, I mean, the main thing I would say is that I think Darnell broke it down, you all, and D-Wells broke it down as well, is that these kids understand, especially with the trying times being a black male in America now, that they want to help other black males succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's only one Mikey Williams, only one, his brother from Ypsilanti, so – it's only one, you know, Patrick Baldwin Jr. So I think that you want to transform lives and really give what God gave you back to your community and lift.
That's right.
That's what LeBron's done in Akron. That's what Jalen's done with Jalen Rose Academy in Detroit. And so that's what mine's going to do in hopefully Ypsilanti if God blesses him with the fortune of being, you know, either going to Michigan State or making that money. So yeah, so I hear about that, but. Yeah, it's fascinating because it was national news today, and so it's just obviously we're a slow time in sports, but we made national news. But I was just like, Ypsilanti, I was like, let me hit up Bud Darnell, let me hit up D. Wells and see what's up. Yeah. I was like,
it was great news, great news. Well, we've been for a couple of weeks doing a power to the people in our opening segment, and another big news is the state of Mississippi and the state flag. Hammer, you are our state, you know, our background person who's worked with at the state level, at the federal level. I mean, to do things like this takes a lot of work or a watershed moment. You know the history of Mississippi and the efforts around this. What does this mean? What to you as someone who understands the inner workings of these kind of things, what did that mean when you heard this, saw the momentum for this?
Well, I'm biased, bro. You know, my late mother's from Mississippi, man.
Hey, my father's from the Jackson. Yep.
Yeah, you know, well, from Columbus area. So
yep.
I was breaking down to you. I'm going to disappoint a lot of people, I'm going to say, but you have me out here to keep it real, like real sports guys. It's all about the money, man.
Yep.
They're not, I mean, the flag, it'll be, I mean, a lot of brothers, it'll be some, it's symbolism. We got to do systemic change in Mississippi, especially. I was told yesterday Mississippi doesn't even have if I'm wrong, but they don't have an economic development director. Like, come on now. They're 50th in everything, besides sadly Wisconsin and some things. So, but we're going to work on that at my level. So the bottom line is that, it was about the money, man. So they took the flag. I was talking to my cousin. I got a cousin in Columbus, Mississippi, which is right near Tupelo, where Elvis is from. And, you know, we broke it down. That I said, it's going to be passed because they don't lose out in the SEC championship. They don't lose out on all this money. And so that's all it's about. It's going to be systemic change. If you've been Mississippi lately, I mean, last month in Mississippi, selling a funeral. Yeah. It hasn't changed, man. So, I mean, I'm not putting down, taking down the flag is going to lift up a lot of people. But we need to do systemic change in Mississippi, man. Mississippi is one of the poorest states in the union. Again, I got love for it because I wouldn't be here but for Mississippi because my mama's from there. But I'll give you a personal story. My mama's not here right now because she got poisoned because they would poison the black wells in town and leave the white wells alone with a chemical plant. So, I mean, change the flags, they're going to change that systemic racism there. So, the over appeals. But it's great to see the brother, the running back, and all these brothers who demand the flag to be down. And great to see Coach Leach and Coach Kiffin up in there. But what are you going to do for the mass, for the majority of people who don't have a voice in Mississippi, who aren't being, who don't have the clout to do these? And so, you know, you're helping a select few, but you're not helping the masses who are going to abject poverty in Mississippi. So, like I said, it's a pyrrhic victory in a sense. So,
I think you point out some really good points, and it's been part of my theme of policy over over pandering. And so, but I think we have to have some of these symbolic changes. I think just like you said, this is the first move, but there's much more to go. I want to send a shout out to my folks down at Piney Woods School outside of Jackson. All black boarding school. It's an amazing boarding school. I used to go down and recruit down there. And so there's some gems in terms of opportunities. But as you say, it's ranked near the bottom in a lot of areas that have a bigger impact on black communities, poor folks in general in Mississippi, but black communities proportionally. So it's important that this is a first step, and hopefully this leads to other action that we could do. What was interesting about it when I interviewed the head coach for Ole Miss was the fact that they nominated two of their team members to participate in the BSU on campus. Now, Hammer, on these large campuses, there's a chasm between black athletes and sometimes black students. You don't have a lot of crossover in a lot of different places, but it was something that was missed. But for a higher ed person, that connection is an interesting connection and a necessary connection. A lot of universities, you'll have some universities where you'll have some crossover and engagement between athletes and the general student population of black students. But it's, when I heard about that, that's an interesting structural decision there to really connect the athletes to the work that's being done on the student campus. I don't know if you caught that one, but we know about those chasms.
Yeah, we know about those chasms between, sadly, the scholarship brothers and sisters, as well as the general populace. So, that's a great move. That's a systemic move right there. That's going to show, that's going to bring unity in the campus, because sadly we have disunity and divisions and divisiveness between the student athletes and the students who have sadly different experiences. So the fact that they are in that space, that's a great move. And that's the type of stuff we need to do, the incremental small moves. So I'll give kudos to that. Definitely. That's great, brother. But as far as, again, getting to infant mortality and business development, we got to do more. Governor Reeves and the got to do more than take the stars and bars down to lift up the black community. Like you said, the symbolism is powerful, because symbols hurt people and hurt lives. Feel me wrong, but systems destroy lives and kill lives. And so that's what we need to look at as far as the power of what we're dealing with. But I'll give a shout out to that. I can't criticize that, brother.
Yeah, I thought I sucked that one in, because you would understand it, because you and I
have worked on these campuses.
Watch how that does it, and that's a small move that people miss. We're gonna come back to this stuff, but I want to jump into the cipher. Is the bubble bursting? Everybody talking about these bubbles. Every sport talking about these bubbles. Now MLB not even talking about a bubble, but everybody talking about these bubbles. As the bubbles are being formed, we got rising cases in Florida, where a state is gonna host some of this stuff. You got about over 20 cases, I think, in the NBA that have been reported, maybe a little bit more. You got the executive director for the NFL Players Association publicly going at players who are working outside.
Rightfully so.
Doing all stuff. Rightfully so. You got the MLB is basically saying we're gonna stay in our home cities and we're gonna fly across the country. You got college football programs shutting down as we speak, as cases rise. Is the bubble bursting? I'm going to start with you, Youngin, Darnell. Is the bubble bursting right now in college sports?
I think the word you're looking for is second wave, but I don't even know if we got on the first wave, to be honest.
We haven't, bro.
But there seems to be cases spiking all over the place, except for one place. And that is the great state of Michigan, because of Gretchen Whitmer. Well, on another note, you saw Clemson had like 35 cases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't see how they can do how this NBA season is going to be able to restart in Florida when it seems like everybody and their mom has COVID in Florida. Like, this is like 10,000 new cases in Florida over the last weekend or something like that. I forgot what the time span was on that, but 10,000 new cases?
I've been hearing that, and before I go to Hammer, I've been hearing that, but the way these NBA players are going to come in, they're going to come in and go right to the Disney World bubble, which is like 40 miles in terms of its land coverage. So it's kind of sneaky around how people are talking about Florida, because Disney World is literally a bubble. Like, they're going to fly in, they're going to have escorts, they're going to get right to there. You know, like, Toronto is already in Florida right now. Like,
yeah.
Get into the bubble. They're going to be quarantined for a while, and then they're going to be in the bubble. So I'm almost like, I've been thinking about this. I think sometimes that might be overplayed for how the NBA set it up. I don't know about some of these other sports, but the way they're going to get these folks in, they're going to be a lot of time for stopping off at Wingstop and getting you some food on the way in. People going to get in, they got to go right to where they're going. But if you're watching the spikes, you're right, that's the issue up there. Hammer, you hearing it? You know, you've been watching the baseball, you got everything on. Is the bubble bursting? And I'm going to ask you, does my spring suggestion look like it might be coming true?
Yeah, I think the bubble is bursting, man. It's really frightening if you see just the coronavirus is just running amok around the country. And Canley, you know, it just scares me about really the libertarianism as well as just a lack of you know, regard for your common man, where, you know, I'm out here in Madison, ain't nobody wearing no mask, man. It's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm the only person, they look at me like
you're crazy.
I'm crazy. And so, yeah, I just think, again, I don't know how you're going to do NFL when these cats they're doing these high-risk workouts, and you see COVID going crazy. Perfect example, not to go off tangent, but it shows you how it spreads. People in this church, I think it's Oregon, went in, 350 member congregation. Somebody came in there, 260 infected. I mean, this virus spreads like wildfire, man.
Yeah.
And so I just don't see. I think NBA has the best model, but baseball traveling is crazy. They need to do a bubble as well. And then, as far as college football, I mean, you got a contact sport and you got a social distance. I mean, you know, we got some bad quarterbacks and social distance all the time. You get beat on pass play. So, but yeah, I mean, it just, I don't see how. I thought, again, like I said, I think the NFL will try their best, but just, it's going to be weird as far as in just real talk with fantasy. Like, if somebody gets COVID and they down for 2 weeks,
yes,
that's gonna hurt the buck. You know, it's wild.
We gotta sit there and think about our fantasy setup and our rules, and supposed to have a few more reserves.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think the bottom line is that baseball, I think, is out of their minds to not have a bubble. Basketball, I think, has the best thing, but sadly, one egghead's gonna mess it up and come back. In fact, everybody. So, I mean, I understand they have, you know, snitch lines and, you know, protocols like that. But, yeah, I just, again, the only thing about football where I thought it would happen is because you have such a short time span for football. It's only 3 years, the average person. So, to give up a year of a three-year career makes really no sense to me. But, again, it's the way it spreads, man. I mean, you're looking at, like, you talk about Clemson, University of Houston. The way it spreads, man. I mean, one dude got it, man. I mean, he can infect the whole field after a game. So it's just, I just pray every day we get get a vaccine. And even like I said, with a vaccine, polls show only 75% is going to get it. So when that get herd immunity, it's not 80%. So yeah, it's just we're just in tough times now. But you know, not to be spiritual here, but I just have to thank the Lord and pray every day. But sports, as we know it, I think basketball will be all right. But baseball, football, they're in trouble, man. Especially the college games.
And RSG, we provide space for that spiritual reflection. So thank you for sharing that.
Okay. You know, I thought that, but you know, I never, you know, hey. For my brothers who don't believe in the word, you know, you'll believe it soon enough. and, you know, you'll believe it soon enough. So I got friends who were so atheists, and you know, got to go tangent. They believe them now because it's real, man. It's real. I mean. You know, I think I know your family passed away.
Yep.
You know, sadly, so it's just tragic. But that's where I am, D. Wells. Is it? I mean, basketball is usually the best model. Football, I just don't see it from the Kanye standpoint. Baseball, they just messed everything up with baseball, man. I mean, it just, and seeing Mike Leake's not going to play. Like, Mike Leake, really? And other people, I'm just like, God, it's terrible, man. So.
Hey, so Darnell, I mean, you're doing, and we didn't put out here, but I mean, you get to update, you're doing the youth, you're doing high school, you're, you know, where you got even less control in parameters and resources around here. What are y'all seeing on that level?
How's it? I'm concerned about, because if Michigan, if our numbers stay low, but Texas and Florida and all the southern states starting to, and to continue this steep increase, are we going to react off that and cancel the season?
Mm.
And our numbers are low. Yeah. I'm not sure how that will work, or that's gonna go. But as far as turnout, the numbers are high. Like a lot of kids, they've been in the house all summer, and the kids are coming out. Like. We got a pretty much a whole team for freshmen. Not freshmen, but freshmen only got like two linemen, but everybody else is like they got a whole bunch of skill players. But JV, we got like a full team out there. Varsity got like almost a full team out there. So the turnout seems to be pretty good coming, especially for this part of the summer. Because you know, with freshmen, you know, when school starts, they're going to get an influx of players that usually come in that didn't know when the workouts are going to be and that kind of stuff. But the numbers seem to be big, so I don't know exactly how the parents are feeling about this, because mm-hmm. I haven't spoken to that many parents about it.
Some of these parents are trying to get their kids out of the house. They didn't even think about COVID.
they better started, think about it, man.
They need to think about it, but they.
You saw one family, 26 people got infected, and the father had a compromised immune system, and he's gone before Father's Day passed away. So,
yes.
It just, yeah. COVID doesn't discriminate. I'll put it this way. Other people discriminating, but COVID doesn't discriminate.
COVID doesn't discriminate. Well, we're going to be watching this bubble. We're going to be checking it out, because right now, I got little holes in it. I'd be remiss to leave without – we had a big announcement today with Cam Newton going to New England. I know that wasn't on our rundown.
Yes, sir.
But maybe – let's talk about it. Darnell, what's your reaction to Cam? Yeah, Belichick's done it again.
You know what's crazy? When this news came down yesterday, I was 1,000% sure this was going to be the big headline of the show. But then, like 1:30, 2 o'clock p.m., today, while I'm at work, we get the bomb dropped. But yeah, Cam Newton to the Patriots. I think this move helps them to stay relevant. I don't think Bill Belichick ever was really into tanking. I don't think he ever really wants to bottom out. He loves the game too much. He's a guy kind of like Greg Popovich now, where they want to stay afloat. They try to rebuild. Without necessarily all the way, without bottoming all the way out like Boston did, like San Antonio did in basketball. And it'll be interesting to see how they adapt to this new quarterback and how they kind of tinker with the new play style, because you saw Josh McDaniels, who's on the coaching staff. When he was in Denver, he coached Tebow. And
Drafted Tebow.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to tailor the offense more towards that way, or if they're going to try to, you know, because Cam has a history, a long history of injuries. So I don't know if if that's necessarily going to be the way they're going to go. But I see them being an 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 kind of team. I don't see them necessarily going to the Super Bowl, but I don't see them being bad either. So it keeps them afloat.
Yeah. Hammer, what was your reaction?
I thought it was a great move. I was really worried about Cam because I thought the market would basically materialize where he would get I thought Jacksonville would come after him, but it really makes sense. It's a low risk, high reward for them. My understanding, he's healthy. Belichick has always had high regard for him. You probably know he's 2-0 against New England, which is, you know, saying something. And I think the bottom line with is that I think they're going to tailor the offense to him as far as running more, because I think that their running game is they got best running back rooms in the league. So with Sonny Michel, you know, our brother James White from Wisconsin, Burkhead. So I think he's going to be able to compensate for the lack of talent on the edge positions, on the wide receiver position, as well as the tight end position. And I think they'll use him. They're going to use him like he did in Carolina. He'll get hurt again. I think they'll use a sweet spot with him where he'll be running more than obviously Tom Brady will do, but not as much as he did in the past. And so I think he'll be more accurate with Josh McDaniels. And I think, you know, Brother Darnell broke it down. He steals my words all the time. So the fact he got Tebow tells me he knows how to do it. And they beat your beloved Steelers. You know, I hate to bring it up, but I have to, with Tebow at quarterback. So, and the main thing, the final thing I'm going to say is that you're not going to waste a defense like that, Brother D. Wells or Brother Darnell. That defense is too tight to not have Cam. So if he fails, I think they still like Stenham. Don't get me wrong. And also, look at, you got Gus Malzahn. I know Belichick called Malzahn. I know he did. Because he's got those great college relationships. So I was happy for Brother Cam. I think he's healthy. He's hungry. He's been humble, Cam. I mean, this guy was the most wanted MVP. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got people like San Diego that want you. You know, so, Carolina discards you at the worst possible time after the free agency group to basically mess you over. So I think it's a great move. And if he's not healthy, then, say his career is over. But, you know, he had a great career. But if he is healthy, get 1 year, kill it, then get you a 2-3 year deal with New England and keep going. He's still a young cat. So, yeah.
Yep, that's right. I was like, Cam. Oh, Cam. Right. I was like, he's back in business right now. Well, hey, this has been fun. You know, we usually have my man Hank here to drop the mic. I guess I got to do it tonight. I won't do it as much service as probably Hank is, but I'm going to drop the mic here on RSG. One mic. We just talked about this topic earlier. I mean, we have been part of what I would say is a watershed moment in history. I mean, it was kind of the weird conditions of a pandemic along with the heinous efforts that we've heard. That we've had to witness as part of this this time period we've been off, and it's just created this kind of global response in terms of social justice. And so I never thought in my lifetime, and I think Hammer alluded to it, that I would see Mississippi ever changing their flag. As someone who father grew up near Jackson, Mississippi, played the blues with folks like B.B. King and Muddy Waters, and hearing a lot about that history. I remember when I was a young admissions counselor flying into Jackson to go visit Pontywood School, which is a historic black boarding school. Never been there, had been assigned an opportunity. And I remember as the plane was landing, looking at the woods and trees in my mind, thinking about ancestors and slaves running those woods. I don't know why those images came to me. And thinking about the history that existed in the Deep South, specifically in Mississippi. And then as I drove up to Pontywood School and interacted with students, it was like, oh, this is the future. You had these young people from all over the world, all over America, I was from the Midwest. There was a number of young people from Illinois, from Amps, neck of the woods, who went to Piney Woods, preparing to go to some of the best schools in the country. I later on, recent years, a good friend of mine, former teammate, Hollis Smith, is working on a project down in Mississippi, where as an officer, he's created a non-for-profit to address issues with the homeless, partnering with institutions to really build the capacity. Decided to do it because he was like, you know, as an officer, we're on the front lines, we see what's going on. And so it gives me hope that we now have a young person, you have young people who have spurred onto something to do something I thought I would never see in my lifetime. But as Hammer said earlier, the work is not done. This is only the beginning, and we must continue to put the pedal to the metal. We must continue to push for policy changes while we have folks' attention. You know, if we can make these kind of changes in Mississippi, I think we have the potential of making some broad-based changes. But don't believe that folks who are counter this movement are going to sit back and be still just because of this announcement. The work has to be relentless. We have to continue. We have to push it wherever we sit. But for now, I will hold on to this moment and cherish it as one more step to the reality that we all want to see in our world and our society. Until next time, this is D. Wills, a Real Sports Guys, One Mic, along with my man Hammer and Darnell and Hank.
Today. Long Hope Radio. One Mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. They were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And you can do that. And the people talk a lot about it.